that top with Bar Hill to him.
Are you ready?
As soon as I get my hat, dearie.
Well, hurry up, Molly. This is the most important meeting since I've been chamber of the president of president of the Chamber of Commerce. Where's my speech?
In your portfolio.
Yeah, I know, but where's my portfolio? Oh, I know. It's right here in the hall closet. Straighten out that closet one of these days.
Does anybody here remember Fibber McGee and Molly? Just a few of us. Yeah. My mom and dad would tell me the stories of Fibber McGee and Molly. But the interesting thing about Fibber is that he had a huge closet and he loved to hide junk in it. I mean, everything under the sun. And it was a running joke that every time that Fibber would go to the closet, Molly would caution him because she knew that things were going to fall apart. Well, we're going to talk about a different closet today. We're going to talk about the closet of the heart. This is a six-part series called Cleaning House. It's adapted from the little pamphlet by Robert Munger, which is My Heart, Christ's Home. Of course, the last room is not the sauna. I think Patty Tubula says, it's a sauna, isn't it? No, the last room is our heart's closet. Much like Fibber McGee, there are things that we clutter up in that closet. Secret things. Things that we don't want others to know. Things that if people got into our closet, it would embarrass them. Little things like pride, unrepentance, unforgiveness, and sinful acts that we just hide and lock in that closet. Hide and lock in that closet. The sad part about locking that closet of our heart is it keeps God out. And a closet that should be a place where we can have an intimate relationship with God just changes. So we're going to talk about ridding up the closet, as we say in Pennsylvania. That means cleaning up the closet. Ridding up the closet. And we're going to read from Munger's book. And the importance of cleaning out the closet so then it changes from being a cluttered place to a prayer closet where we can have an intimate conversation with God each and every day. So I'm going to go to Munger and read his story of Christ in the hall closet. One day I found Jesus waiting for me at the front door. An arresting look was in his eye. As I entered, he said to me, "There's a peculiar odor in the house. Something must be dead around here. I think it is in the hall closet." Indeed, there was a small closet up there on the hall landing, just a few feet square. In that closet, behind lock and key, I had one or two little personal things I did not want anybody to know about. They were dead and rotting things left over from the old life, yet I loved them. I wanted them so much for myself. I was really afraid to admit they were there. Reluctantly, I went up the stairs with him, and as we mounted, the odor became stronger and stronger. He pointed at the door and said, "It's in here, some dead thing." I had given him access to the study, the dining room, the living room, the recreation room, and the bedroom, and now he was asking me about a little 2x4 closet. I said to myself, "This is too much. I am not going to give him the key." "Well," he responded, reading my thoughts, "if you think I am going to stay up here on the second floor with this smell, you are mistaken. I will take my bed out on the back porch or somewhere else." And I saw him start down the stairs. I had to give in. "I'll give you the key," I said sadly, "but you'll have to open the closet and clean it out. I haven't the strength to do it." "I know," he said. Just authorize me to handle that closet, and I will. So with trembling fingers, I passed the key over to him. He took it from my hand, walked over to the door, opened it, entered it, and took out the petrifying stuff that was rotting there and threw it all away. Then he cleansed the closet, painted it, and fixed it all up in a moment's time. Immediately, a fresh, fragrant breeze swept through the house. The whole atmosphere changed. What release and victory to have the dead thing out of my life. Amen. Our scripture reading today is from Psalm chapter 139, verse 1 through 6, and also verses 23 and 24. But before we read the scripture, I want you to shake the hand of your neighbor, tell them how glad you are to see him, and that we're ready to study God's word. Go ahead and do that. Amen. Okay, Psalm chapter 139, verses 1 through 6, and then 20 through 24. O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. And verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we hear these words of the psalmist, we get a great understanding that you know everything that's in our hearts. You know everything we do. You know everything in our mind. Lord, today we're going to talk about opening our closet and exposing all those things that hinder our relationship with you, that pulls us back from walking in a close, intimate walk. That walk was intended in the Garden of Eden, in the cool of the night. So, Lord, I ask that you use me, that you speak through me, Lord, that your anointing comes thick on all of us, that we know that we will know that you are here and that you've taught us more about our walk with you. So, Lord, with that, I ask you open every ear and every heart to hear your word and your study. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Many believe that King David may have written Psalm 139 because it's so typical of him understanding where he's really messed up in life. Some think maybe he wrote this when he was fleeing Saul throughout the countryside. Some think that he wrote this after his adulterous affair with Bathsheba and the loss of that firstborn. Some think that he wrote it when his son Absalom came against him and he had to flee his country or his city that he loved so dear. In any respect, you read about a man that just is tired of the sin in his life. You read about a man that says, you know, Lord, it's time you check me out because I can't do things my way anymore. Let's just get into these verses and kind of unpack them and see what he's saying here as he talks about this God, his almighty God and his personal friend that he has known for many years. So we start with verses 1 and 2 and that the psalmist had an understanding of what was in David's heart. He knew David's closet. He knew it from the inside out. He knew what he hid there. He knew what he exposed there. And David said that. David says, "Oh Lord, you have searched me and you know me." And this word search, it's kukar. Kukar. And it means to examine thoroughly. It's a word they used back then in Hebrew to drill down, to get to the hard rock, to drill down into water. To get down to the very soul of David. David understood this. He said, I know, Lord, you search me. You get down to the roots. You know what's in my closet. You know what's down there deep. And you know me. I love the word know. It's an intimate know. You know, it's like a conversational, communicational intercourse. And you know me. It's that close. It's that close. He goes on to say, "You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thought from afar." He not only knows your heart, he knows everything you're doing when you get up in the morning and when you go out. Whether you're running or walking, whether you're riding or taking an airplane, he knows you. No matter what phase of your life, from every waking moment and sleeping moment, he knows everything about you. And get this, you perceive my thoughts from afar. He knows what we do. He knows what we're thinking. We can't hide our thoughts from him. He knows our thoughts before we know our thoughts. And no matter where we're at, we could be in China, we could be in Europe, we could be in Southeast Asia, we could be in the Middle East. It doesn't matter how far away we are from God. He perceives our thoughts. We can't get away from him. Knowing David, he really didn't want to. So your closet, basically, from God's perspective, if you have a relationship with God, the closet's wide open. There's nothing to hide from him. And in verse 3, we know that he knows your whole life, bad and good. He just doesn't look on the good part of your life. He knows everything about your life and how cluttered your life can become. Get this. It says, "You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways." Discern means to sift. It's another word for winnowing. Does anybody know what winnowing is? Back in the Hebrew time, they would get their wheat or get their winnow forks, right, Ginger? And they throw it up in the air, and that they would separate the shaft from the wheat. That's what God does with us. He knows everything. He said, "Oh, there goes the bad stuff. Oh, there's the good stuff." Get this. He knows when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. Okay. But he's not Santa Claus. He's a personal Savior. He's not Santa Claus. And he knows everything about you. There's nothing you can hide from him. And he's familiar with all your ways. He's familiar with all your personality. He's familiar with all your traits. He's familiar with all your characteristics. Everything you do, he says, "Yeah, that's Merle." That's Merle. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. But that's how personal he is. And get this, before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. He knows our thought life. Before a word even comes out, he knows it completely. Think about that. Not only does he know it completely, he knows your motives when you tell it, when you speak it. He knows your motives. He knows your pain. He knows your laughter. He knows your joy. He knows your sadness. Everything that comes out, he knows that. You can't hide that from him. That closet might be locked, But the Almighty God can see that. He can see that. What he does know about your thoughts, he knows when there's deceit. He knows when there's lies as well as truth. There's nothing you can hide from him or lock up. But the great news about this God that David's talking about is this God wraps his arms around us. And when we have a relation with him, he doesn't want to let us go. Listen to this next verse, verse 5. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. The Hebrew word for there is tazor, and it means to press upon. It's a word they use when an army would besiege a city, when an army would surround a city. So we have a God that surrounds us. He hems us in. He hems us in so he can deal with the things in our lives. But did you hear that graciousness? And you lay your hand on me. It's like a father to the son. Say, I know you're hurting. I know there's things you need to tell me. I know there's things in your closet that you got to get out. I love you. I want to know. He hemmed us in. He surrounded us and put his hands on us. And David says, such knowledge is just too much. Listen to this. Such knowledge is just too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. I can't handle this. I can't grasp a personal relationship with Almighty God that knows and sees everything. I can't grasp that he knows more about me than what I know about me. I can't grasp that he wants to hug me, put my hand on me, and to guide me. I can't grasp that. But when he does grasp that, when David does realize of this intimate personal God, when he does understand this sovereignty and the omniscience of this God and the omnipresence of this God, when he knows all that, that's when we go to verse 23 and 24. So David ends Psalms 139 in these verses by saying, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. David writes this beautiful psalm about this God and this personal relationship. And then he finally realizes that God's the answer. And he finally says, I give up. Take care of this for me. I give up. Try me. Test me. Search me. The same word. Search me. Drill down into me. Tell me where I messed up. Tell me what I need to clean out of my closet. Come to the depth of me. I want it. And David needed it. After affair with Bathsheba, and he sent out Uriah the Hittite to be murdered. And Nathan the prophet says, you've done wrong. And David gets to the point to say, yes, I got to get this out. I got to expose it. I got to get this out of me. I want tested. I want my closet cleaned out. Test me. Do what you can. Sharpen me like metal. Sharpen me like a sword. Put me in that water. Heat me up. Have me break and quake. And he says, know my anxious thoughts. Know my anxious thoughts. Know that I am just scared to death. I'm scared what you're going to expose. I'm embarrassed by my past. I don't want to dig up that junk that has consequences. I don't want to expose those things. But I need to. It's the only way we can have that close relationship with one another. I can't hold back. I got to. And he says, if there's anything offensive in me, if there's anything that stinks in my closet, is there anything that really offends you, Lord? That if there's anything that separates us, tell me. I need to know. Because I want that intimacy. I can't live without that intimacy. Tell me, test me. Know that I'm scared to death. But take all out all that junk that I have in my life that's built up over and over. And lead me. Lead me in the way. Lead me in a way of righteousness. Lead me in a way of right thinking. Lead me in a way of taking care of my family. Taking care of my finances. Doing the things that I should do. Lead me. Lead me everlasting. Just don't lead me today. Lead me forever. Lead me in that eternal life. Eternal life is not something that's far away. Eternal life is today and forever. Jesus said in John these words. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Basically, that's what David was saying all along. I want to know you, God, so closely. I don't want anything to impair that relationship. I want to go forward. I want to go forward now and into eternity. So what do you have in your closet? What do you have in your closet? Could be self-pity, fear, selfishness, self-seeking pleasures. Greed, impure sexuality, anger, lust, pride one more time, jealousy, envy, and dishonesty, just to name a few. I think the biggest one that's not here that we have to address in our closet is that word forgiveness. Get all those history books out of the closet of those people that done us in, that cheated us, that betrayed us, that lied to us, and be able to forgive. Be able to forgive. And take in what God gives you, and that is forgiveness yourself. Be able to forgive yourself for the things that you've done. Because that's what the cross is all about. The cross was all about Him forgiving you so you can forgive yourself for this, for all this that needs taken out of your closet. Will it be easy? No. We all have stuff in our closet we know will embarrass us. We know has overriding consequences. That might be costly to other ones we love. But if we don't rid it up, if we don't clean it up there, that's going to affect your walk with God. Because His purpose is to hem you in, to give you that big hug, to have His hand on you and say, now is the time for change in your life. So to any of you that have that junk in your closet, including me, it's time to give it up. Get rid of it. Learn to live now free and cleansed and have all that stuff exposed so there's nothing in that closet except you and God. Now I can understand why David said, this is just too much. I can't grasp this. I can't handle this. This is good stuff. This is good stuff. So for all of us, I ask that you go to God as we pray here soon and ask Him to help clean up your closet. Ask Him to work in your life. He understands it's scary. He knows your every anxious thought. But He also knows how much He loves you. So much that He gave His only Son to die for us, to extend those arms to us, so we can walk again with Him in the garden. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to You and we thank You for the words of David. Lord, it's beyond me that You knew me as when I was first in the womb, and that You knew me before I was even born, before then, and You know every hair on my head, and You know me by name, and to me that's so much to grasp. I pray, Lord, that as we hear these words, that we are able to dig deep in that closet and get all that junk out of that place. So it changes from a junk closet to a truly a prayer closet. Lord, I just pray with all my heart and soul that all of us are able to say, test us and to search us and to dig deep. And if there's anything offensive, let us know right now. Let us know. I know there are some here today that have never heard about Jesus coming to us to die on the cross, to give us that most valuable things, and that's forgiveness of all that stuff that's stored up in that closet. That there are some today that don't know You as their Lord and Savior. They don't understand Christ's death on the cross to die for our sins, and to shed that blood just for us, just for us. I ask, Lord, if there's anybody here today that don't know You, that is unsaved, but want a personal relationship with You, that it's fairly simple to say yes. It's the walking layer. It might get tough, but it's simple to be under His grace and mercy and to accept Him as Lord and Savior. Anybody that's not saved here today, I want you to consider that. Consider just saying yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. I want You, Lord. I want that close, intimate relationship. Think about that. Say to Him, Lord, I want You to clean up my closet because I can't bear it anymore. And the room's not big enough for the junk I have stored in it. I need Your help. All you have to do is say, yes, Lord, I accept You as Lord and Savior. I accept You as Lord and Savior. If you believe that, say that to yourself. I accept You as Lord and Savior. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask this question. If you today accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, I just ask that you put your hand up and put it right back down so I can pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's a decision you'll not regret. Thank you. It's a decision that's pulling on you. It's a decision to have those arms wrap around you and hem you in. Thank you. Dear Lord, we ask that You bless us and bless our families, and that we understand that there is no way that You will leave us nor forsake us, and that You're an almighty God that will walk and talk with us each and every day. So I lift this prayer up to You, Lord. We love You so much, Lord. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.